I want to emphasize this this little verse we've had here, and the communication it seems to present is something that's highly desirable. If you'll turn your Bible to Colossians for just a second, this is it's still before 10 o'clock, so this is kind of free. That is, it's not penalized. My time is not penalized, I hope. Colossians, there's just an amazing statement here by the Apostle Paul. He says in Colossians 4, he says, I'm sending him to you, that is Tychicus, for the express purpose, Colossians 4:8, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may be encouraged, he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, who will tell you everything is happening here. I want to suggest to you that that's a level of communication that we should aspire to when you walk in this room, when you, you know, out in the gathering place, that you inquire, that you ask. And when people sense that you care about them and want to know, they'll tell you. Maybe not the first Sunday or the second Sunday, but eventually you'll win their hearts and you'll find out valuable things and you'll be able to connect with them. Okay? I think that's a degree of communication that what this is talking about. Okay, if you could have any role in the church, what would it be? We're talking about spiritual gifts and spiritual capacities, and just what would it be? What would you like to do? Any role? What's that?
I'll give the spiritual answer, whatever God has gifted me with.
Oh. You're not helping me, Tony. But you're right. What would you like to be?
Tony has the gift of humility, so he could use that.
Gift of humility? Okay.
Well, that does remind me, and Joyce isn't here, so I'll tell a story. She's heard it, only because she's heard it so many times. Now, this is mostly true. At our last church, they gave a spiritual gift survey. Actually, it's totally true. A spiritual gift survey, and I scored really low on everything except humility.
What would you be? Yes, Fred.
I work in a long-term care rehab facility. Oh. And I was talking to a guy. He's in his 70s and had cerebral palsy all his life. And I do everything I can to make his life comfortable. And I say,
good for you.
Something.
Bless you, bless you.
I know Jesus, but I wish I had the gift of healing. I could take, you know, I could heal you, but what, I can't do that, so I'll do whatever you need. You know, I'll learn how to take care of you. He mentioned that he appreciated because he, I mean, you know, because a lot of times he's ignored, you know, and I mean, he's kind of rough shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said this before. Does anybody remember what I say about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23, 24? Does anybody remember that? If you do, I will spare you and move on. But if you don't, I think it's a thought that is, at least it's been meaningful to me and may be meaningful to you in connection with what Fred has said. Here's a man with cerebral palsy all his life. You talk about feeling ignored, out of the way, unvaluable. Wow, what a spiritual frontier for this man. What does Scripture say about that? Does anybody remember I think I've shared it so many times I don't want to bore you is the point of asking you.
I don't know what to say, but it was talked about.
Pardon?
It talked about, you know, the apostles were asking Jesus, was it because of this man's sin or the sin of his parents that he's born this way? And he says, it's neither, for the glory of God. Uh-huh. And that's what I, you know, it's not an accident. Uh-huh. That people are disabled or, mm-hmm. I mean, it could be because of the sin-cursed world, but they can still glorify God in their position that they're at. They know the Lord.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
They can give glory to God. And live a life to glory to God, no matter what their limitations are.
That's very true. Thank you. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, people with cerebral palsy or people with whatever, blindness or, you know, whatever, are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now, why would those kind of parts be indispensable? Paul says people with various limitations, if you can walk, see, and hear, and you have, you know, some degree of mental horsepower, it's not talking about you. But there are people in life who really have very, very little. And humanly speaking, are very little. And yet Paul says they're indispensable. Now, why would they be indispensable? Yes?
He said it allows us to show the love of Christ.
They allow us to show the love of Christ. Excellent. Thank you. Correct.
They have worth and value.
Okay.
They still can give back to others.
Because they're image bearers, Christ died them, gave them value, and incidentally, that's the value we have also. Because Christ died for us, and we bear the image of God, like all people do. Thank you, Ruth. Anybody else? I want to add to these two definitions by suggesting you that yes, Carol Ann?
Well, I think of like people who have lived through the Holocaust, and they were in concentration camps, but they're believers. So even though they're in this terrible environment, they're sitting there and they're in their heart rejoicing God instead of cursing man. So it's there, even in a dark area, you can still rejoice and praise God. If you are in a wheelchair, you can still rejoice and praise God, even though your legs, people are staring at you every time you go out because, you know, you just look odd to them.
Uh-huh.
You can still use that as a way to rejoice and praise God. So you are kind of a beacon still.
Amen.
In physical or, you know, any kind of distress.
Thank you. Yes, very much so. Anybody take National Geographic? About 3 or 4 months ago, Becky, there was a cover story on a girl at a face transplant. You remember? She was attempting suicide. She shot herself, blew out her eyes, blew out her mouth, blew out her nose. And then she decided she wanted to live. And her face was on the front cover of National Geographic about 3 or 4 months ago. Why is she indispensable? Becky? You started to say something a moment ago.
Oh.
Is it off this subject or something else?
No, it's the same one, but when we are weak, that's when we are strong with God. So he wants to use us, what he wants to use us, not the way we think we need to be used. So when we are weak, then we are ready to be used by him.
And to add to that, my thought is that people of this situation, and humanly speaking, that's all of us, you know? I mean, biblically speaking, spiritually speaking, that's all of us. We're all the prodigal son. Amen? I suggest to you that these people are indispensable because they test our humility. Will we treat them the way God treats us? Do we have enough patience and humility to treat them the way God treats us? Okay, let's move along. Last week, we talked about gifts being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Talked about being reasonable in our estimation of our giftedness, not to think more highly of ourselves than we should or shouldn't. Gifts are remarkably diverse, and such diversity is to be celebrated and enjoyed. And then our gifts don't make us inferior or superior. I'm going to add number 5 in just a few minutes. I would like to invest a few minutes next week. Some of you know what your spiritual gift is. And for those who are simply not, it hasn't quite focused yet. And I really think it's something that takes time to focus. At least it's taken me a long time for that to focus and come together in my mind, what my spiritual gift is. If some of you would be prepared next week to say, I know this is my spiritual gift because this, this, and this. And that will help those who haven't yet discovered this thing to maybe get a greater handle on it. Yes?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
When you say what is your spiritual gift, are you referring to the
motivational gift.
Gifts?
Yeah.
Romans 12,
right.
6 to 8.
Thank you for that clarification. Yes, okay. The 7 we're talking about, started to define them last week, and we'll continue today. Okay. Some definitions next week. And by the way, if these things are not meaningful to you, then you can let Mike know that. I started one yesterday or last Sunday, prophets, and then we'll do a teacher and exhorter maybe today. We get that far. Just let him know, and he can wave me off, and we'll do something else next week. But I'd like to continue those definitions unless you're finding them, provided you're finding them of value. On April 7th, John Wimble will be speaking on the charismatic movement. It would go along with this film that Tony was promoting here, and then the 14th to be announced. Now, I want to ask you a question that I proposed at the start of our study. What is the relationship between the gifts and the commands? We got certain gifts, we got certain commands. Now, how do those two relate? Yes.
That question reminds me of evangelism in particular.
Okay.
Sometimes people will say, "Oh, I don't have the gift of evangelism." Well, I'm not so sure that the Great Commission is limited to those who have particular gifts. The Great Commission applies to everybody.
Okay. Suppose a person, yes, you're right. Suppose a person says, "You know, I don't know what to say. I can't think of the verses. I lose them. I can't quote them. I can quote them at home alone, but I get in that spot and I just, man, they just take wings. I don't know where they are. I don't have the personality for it." What is our response to that? What is the relation between the, you know, I don't have the gift. It's not my wiring, you know. It's David Sarakin's wiring, but it's not my wiring.
Amen.
Tracy.
And I think that really points to the fact that it is vital for us to memorize Scripture.
Uh-huh.
It's vital. Yeah, we might forget the whole verse or piece that, you know, whatever, but if you have the gist of the verse, if you can point to them, and even open your Bible. Yeah, everybody has a phone. Open your phone. If you don't need to, you know, don't know the whole thing, you can reference it, but knowing Scripture is a key help in that time when you're trying to share Christ with someone. Or encourage them. Maybe,
yeah, right.
You know?
Thank you, Tracy. Yes. Memorize Scripture. Becky?
Just tell your own story.
Tell your own story.
You understand how you came to know Christ, what you understand it to be.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Gary?
Along that line, use your other gifts like if you're serving them. And evangelism, telling other people about Christ, evangelism, I look at it as it's kind of like cold calling, right? You just met them, and you got one shot, and you're going to give it to them, right? And not everybody has, but you can build relationships through what other gifts that you have with that person. They tell your own story in the process and show it through your life. So that takes a longer time than a one-shot preacher who's called a crusade or something. But it's also witnessing and going out into the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Testimony is powerful. And your comments, thank you. You know, Paul's testimony is in the Bible three times, Acts 9, 22, and 26. Your story. Now, they may have heard the gospel before, but you can honestly look at them and say, I know you've never heard what God has done for me because I've never told you. May I tell you, please? Would you give me, if you sense they're nervous, say, okay, could I have 2 minutes of your time? And in 2 minutes, tell them the gospel. Or if you don't feel there's a pressure on, don't give yourself a time limit because you might want to take more than 2 minutes, you know? Hospitality. It's just tough for me. If somebody were coming to my house, I'd clean for 2 days and I'd be tense and nervous it's not me. And yet we're commanded to be hospitable. We're commanded to evangelize. We're commanded to give. You see the problem. You see the concern. How do we balance the commands versus our wiring? Last comment, then I'm going to, Jeff, these two, and then we're going to move on. I'm going to give you my suggestion, and then you guys can wrestle. Yes?
And command trumps desire. You know, I mean, hey, I talked to a guy once, and he says, well, I don't have the gift of celibacy. I says, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you have to behave yourself in a certain way. A guy was telling me, God doesn't want me to be in an unhappy marriage. And I says, no, your job is to be married and work things out, you know. And he ended up running off with another gal.
Too bad.
But the thing is, command trumps everything else. We have to do what God tells us.
Amen. Thank you. Jeff, and then I'm sorry, we got to move on.
I think maybe your gift or how you're wired may influence how you go about fulfilling the command. So a prophet may declare the gospel. A teacher may explain the gospel. A person who helps may want to help you understand the gospel. Things like that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I want to suggest for your consideration that the relations between the gifts and the commands are that the commands are for everybody. We're all to give. We're all to evangelize. We're all to be hospitable. We're all to show mercy. We're all to lead. The commands are for all of us. The difference is that the person with the gift of hospitality will do it more easily, with less stress, with very likely greater efficiency and greater accomplishment. We have a friend in Seattle. I was talking with her. There were 6 or 8 of us over for dinner, and we were talking and carrying on a conversation, and she kind of leaned out of the kitchen and says, "Dinner's ready." Well, she was carrying on a conversation with me, but she's serving dinner for 8. I mean, just, it was just easy. I mean, it's her. It's Kathy Lowell. You'll meet her in heaven. Great gal. You'll love her. She just, dinner's ready. Probably for most of us, as I say, that would be kind of a challenging thing. We're all to be hospitable. In a day when hospitality was a given, there were no Motel 6 and Ramada and whatever, you know. That was a given. So the two angels come to Sodom in chapter 19, and Lot walks out, never met him before. He says, "Well, come into my house," you know. Hospitality was just a given that you took people in, even if you didn't know them. And so Paul says we're all to be hospitable. He says, don't you know you'll entertain strangers, you'll entertain angels unawares, Hebrews 13 says.
That's cool.
So we're all, yeah, it really is. You might have an angel. We're all to do the commands. Some will be more efficient at it and have greater results and do so with less stress. How many know Linda Herhuth? Linda can look at a sheet of music and in a very short time memorize it. Stand in front of 1,000 people and sing it.
She sees it in her mind.
It's just there. She just takes a photo of it and she can do it. If I had to sing a solo in front of 1,000 people, first of all, I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. I spare you, I promise. Secondly, I wouldn't sleep for 3 days. And thirdly, if I were absolutely forced to, I would mumble, stumble, and lose the words, and other things would happen also. Yes, David.
I was at a conference probably 15 years ago, and I saw Ravi Zacharias stand at the podium with his eyes closed and quote like a page out of some book. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that's a gift. That's a capacity.
Yeah, that's a gift.
That's where the Holy Spirit joins Mr. Zacharias, and he's a blessing to the church.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm on page 2 of my notes for about 14, so I need to move along here. Your contributions are so helpful and so meaningful as we visit together. Last week, we invested some time describing the gift of a prophet and the misuses of a prophet. And I'd like to continue in that vein here this morning. I'm sorry, I got to go back and cover something else before we get into that. You're in 1 Corinthians, are you not?
Yep.
Okay. To answer the question, to try to address this question of what gift would you like to have, or what would you like to do? The fifth point to add to last Sunday's lesson is this. The gifts are sovereignly given.
Right.
The gifts are sovereignly given. Our giftedness is not attributed to our own spirituality and maturity, but to God's sovereignty. And as sinners, we're wired to take the credit for our accomplishments. Scripture says, everything we have or do is achieved. It's from God. But we tend to take the credit for things, and we can either become lifted up in pride or discouraged. Now, you're looking in 1 Corinthians. We look at verse 11 in connection with this. About how we're gifted and what you would like to do. And if you could do anything in the body of Christ, what it says here, 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these work one of the same Spirit, but he gives to them each one just as he determined. I've always wanted to be a field general. I am not a field general. I would love to be like Bob Johnson. I would love to just be out there leading the way, you know? Not me. Just not me. It's just not me. God hasn't given me that to me. I'm not responsible for that. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. There it is. No matter what I would like to be, no matter what you would like to be, we all agree with Tony, which was?
What God has gifted me in.
Okay. What God has gifted me. And peace comes, I guess, when we settle down and accept what we are, what we're not. And by the way, Linda Hurley used to sing a song. I'm yours, Lord, everything I've got, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Remember that thing?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Now on to these definitions. We worked on prophets last week. Anybody want a little more information on that or repeat on any of that? Okay. Let's go on to the characteristics of the gift of serving illustrated by Timothy. A server has an ability to see practical needs and desire to meet them. He or she sees practical needs, wants to meet them. Timothy's desire to meet needs is confirmed by Paul, where he says, I have no one like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. Philippians 2, verse 20. Number two, joy is serving when it frees others to do more important things, not just keep busy. Timothy served Paul so that Paul could carry out his ministry. He served Paul as a son with a father. Philippians 2:22. Number three, a tendency to disregard personal health and comfort in serving others. Timothy's physical ailments were revealed when Paul wrote, drink no longer water, but use some wine for your stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. 1 Timothy 5:23. Number four, a difficulty in saying no, resulting in a variety of involvements and a tendency to get sidetracked.
Yeah.
Do you know people who can't say no?
Yep.
And they're scattered, and they're going, you know, too many different directions? How many are guilty? With me.
I've been there.
Let's practice saying it. Pronounce for me N-O. No. I would love to, but the answer is
no.
Okay, good. Timothy was told twice by Paul not to get sidetracked. Do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Do thy diligence to come before winter. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, repeated in verse 21. I'm reading this to you. I apologize for that. This is copyrighted material. I'd really make copies and send it out to you because I really think that would be accomplished more. It's Bill Gothard material. I'm just trying to be a messenger to communicate this to you because I think it's insightful. Number five, a special enjoyment in providing for physical needs and comforts. An ability to remember likes and dislikes. You know somebody that remembers likes and dislikes? Timothy was instructed to bring Paul his cloak and books, but especially the parchments. Number six, a need for appreciation to confirm that service is necessary and satisfactory. A desire for clear instruction without time limit. Timothy was given more instruction and praise by Paul than any other assistant. Who are the other assistants that Paul has?
Silas, Mark,
Barnabas.
Mm-hmm. Tychius, Trophimus.
Yeah.
Okay.
At chapter 16 of Romans, he talks about
him. He does. Thank you. He gets a lot of instruction. I think of Timothy, I think of the word timid. They kind of almost, you know, kind of, you're close, you know, sounding. Timothy seems to be a timid fellow, and he needs encouragement and needs instruction. Number seven, a strong desire to be with others, thus providing more serving opportunities. Timothy's almost always working with others. That ring true? Is somebody you know? Number eight, an enjoyment of short-range projects and a tendency to become frustrated with long-range responsibilities. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier and continue in the calling that was given to him. And number nine, lastly, a tendency to feel inadequate and unqualified for spiritual leadership. These are often sensitive people. The very gifting they have, they're sensitive people. Coming back to the book, the matter of a prophet, and it's very closely aligned to what an administrator or ruling gift is. One time at a retreat, the boss of Action, the USA Director for Action, we're having a stare contest. You had to stand about your nose about that far from somebody else and just look at their eyes.
Without laughing.
I lasted probably 5 seconds. The guy who was the USA director, I mean, he must have held that thing for... I mean, everybody else in the room is sitting down. We're all watching this guy and the other fellow with him. You know, they have that confidence, their assurance. That's the connection with this point here. The server guy does not have, gal doesn't have that confidence. The tendency to feel inadequate and unqualified for spiritual leadership. Timothy was assured by Paul that he was qualified by his ordination and by the training of his mother, grandmother, and Paul. How can the gift of serving, anything there? Anything you want to identify with or comment on? Okay. How servers can misuse their gift. Number one. Ooh, this is getting close to home. Neglecting home responsibilities to help others. Servers tend to disregard their own comforts in order to help others. Other reasons may also cause this. An inability to say no to others and the need for sincere gratefulness from those whom they help. The prophet is going to look at that guy with the gift of serving or gal with the gift of serving and says, you know, you just want strokes. You just want encouragement, you know? And the person with mercy or serving is look at the prophet with ruling and say, there's no encouragement, there's no help, there's nothing positive. You know, so there's these gifts kind of rub on each other, and the challenge in all of our lives is to appreciate the strengths, pray about the weaknesses. We love the person anyway.
That's right.
Okay. So number one, neglecting home responsibilities to help others. Number two, accepting too many jobs at one time. We've already talked about that. Difficulty saying no. Number three, wearing themselves out physically. In order to assist others, servers will often disregard their own physical limitations. This in itself will cause physical exhaustion. However, servers tend to add a further dimension to the problem when they take on more responsibility than they can handle. Inattention may result in ailments, especially with their stomachs. Number four, being too persistent in giving unrequested help to others. Servers are able to detect needs before others are even aware of them. They just have a radar, you know? They get their joy and fulfillment from meeting these needs. Because of this, they may persist in trying to meet a particular need which they see. Number five, going around proper authority in order to get the job done. The proper channels of people and committees may look unnecessary red tape to servers who want to get the job done as soon as possible. They even use personal funds in order to avoid delays in meeting needs, usually spending money they don't have. Number six, excluding others from helping on a job. Unlike administrators, who tend to maybe over-delegate, servers find it extremely difficult to delegate jobs to others. They tend to want to do the job themselves. Number seven, interfering. This is insightful. Interfering with God's discipline by premature help. Yeah. If servers see a need in the life of another person, their first impulse is to meet it. However, it may be that the need is designed by God to bring that person to repentance.
Right.
The needs of the prodigal son in the pigsty would illustrate this point. Meaning his physical needs might have hindered his repentance and return to his father. Right?
Right.
Number eight, becoming hurt by the ungratefulness of those who were helped. Servers do not usually desire public recognition. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. However, they deeply desire sincere appreciation from the ones whom they serve. This may cause them to work for the approval of people more than for the approval of God. That ring correct?
As a fellow server, because I tend to be that way.
Are you a server?
I am.
Okay.
Things that I had to learn the hard way. A friend of mine offered this, and I still try to apply it today. This might be a good thing to do. This may be a better thing to do, but this is the best thing to do. And trying to categorize whatever that need that you see is and doing what may be best has helped me to say no to certain things that others can fill and be a blessing as well.
Thank you. Let's see. Number nine, last point for today. Getting sidetracked while working on an assignment. It's very easy for servers to stop what they're doing and to give a helping hand to another person in need that they see. This may cause those whom they serve to become frustrated with them because the assigned tasks are not completed as fast as they should be. Well, those are some thoughts on server. I'm ready to go forward on teaching and the other five gifts also, which we'll continue next week. Thank you very much for your good attention. Lord, help us. Help us, Father. We are needy people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Help us, we pray. Bless in the hour to follow and just grace our hearts and minds, Father. In Jesus' name, we spread our hearts before you, asking for your mercy, Father. We need it. We know we need it. Amen.
Amen.